ABC Radio Australia.
A discovery of ancient artifacts on the island of Timor could change what scientists have understood about the migration route of early humans coming to Australia. Researchers from the Australian National University found found stone artifacts and animal bones dating back 44,000 years ago. But what does it all mean? Well, joining us this morning to answer that question is Professor Sue O'Connor from the Australian National University. With that, I say good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you very much, Professor, for joining us. If you don't mind, Sue, could you just sort of take us through what was actually discovered and where specifically?
It's in Timor-Leste, so in the independent nation of Timor-Leste, about the central area of Timor-Leste on the north coast near a small village called Alalaya. And it's a huge cave in a really wonderful prospective location. So it's right on the edge of the Lalaya River, and it's about 3 kilometres from the coast, looking down over the river. So it's a beautiful location, a big airy cave, and had lovely flat surface sediment. So I originally went there and excavated in 2014, and the excavation was quite deep, and I'd only done a 1 by 1 metre test pit. So I was down about 3 metres in this very small hole. And when I got to the bottom, I thought I'd hit sterile sediments, but there were big rocks blocking my way to do any further excavation. So we went back in 2019 and did a bigger excavation, and we were able to date all the way down, like all human occupation layers, and then get those big rocks at the bottom out and date what turned out to be sterile material underneath. Hmm. And the importance of that was we could say not just when people got there, but when they weren't there.
Wow, fascinating stuff. Sue, I have to always ask, what's the indication, or even how do you gauge where to go to actually excavate it and obviously be able to find certain things like these artifacts?
Well, in Timor-Leste, we look for limestone caves, because limestone is really good. It's calcium carbonate and it preserves bones and it preserves shells and things like that. So all the things that people ate get really well preserved in limestone caves. So we're looking for limestone caves, and fortunately Timor-Leste is full of them. So we've excavated about a dozen in Timor-Leste since it became an independent nation in 2000. They're all, the preservation is stunning. So in this site, which was about 45,000 years old, the preservation of the bones, the little animal bones that people were eating, even the fish bones, was perfect down to 45,000 years ago. They looked exactly like a fish bone from today, but just a bit more weathered.
Wow. What's the significance then of this specific discovery, to what's understood about early humans migrating to Australia?
Well, there's for a long time since, for many, many years, since an anthropologist called Joseph Birdsall first proposed different routes that people would have come into Australia. Like, we've known for a long time that Australia has been separated from mainland Southeast Asia by water. During the human time span, people would always have had to have made water crossings to get to Australia. And Birdsall, back in 1977, discussed possible routes they could have taken to get to Australia. But at that time, he didn't have the sort of bathymetry and satellites and LIDAR and everything that we have now for estimating distances and depths of water, etc. But he proposed several routes, a northern route and a southern route, with the southern route going through Timor and the northern route going through Sulawesi and into West Papua, to get into the greater landmass, which was New Guinea and Australia. So since that time, people have been debating which was the most prospective route. And all the current modelling that's been done indicates the northern route was more prospective. And essentially, that's what our data, we think, shows, because what we've shown is that people weren't there. They don't appear to have been in Timor 55,000 years ago. But if they got to Australia 65,000 years ago, they should have been in Timor-Leste if they took the southern route. And our data shows they weren't there. These sterile layers below the human occupation layers we've been able to date to 55,000. So we can show that arrival signature when people got there. And that was sometime just a bit after 50,000 years ago.
What specifically sort of dictates that you know it's at least 55,000 years ago?
Well, we've been able to date the sediments. So we had all the human occupation layers with the halves and all those little animal bones I was talking about, and tens of thousands of stone artifacts as well. So we had those down, and then there was like a sharp line. It was really like somebody had drawn a line in the sand. It was, you could see the human occupation layers and then this pale yellow sterile sand, which had nothing virtually in it, a few tiny little pieces which it must have moved down through animal burrowing. So you could really see this very sharp line for when people arrived. And we took optically stimulated luminescence samples for dating of those sediments below the human occupation layer, and they dated to 55 and older.
Wow.
So we could say people weren't there then, but they did arrive sometime a bit after 50. Well, we know people have been at Maja Baby Cave in Australia since 65,000 years ago. Therefore, it follows that they didn't come through Timor-Leste to get into Australia. They probably took the northern route, as people have suggested, up through Sulawesi and into New Guinea, into West Papua.
Yeah. I just want to talk a little bit about maybe if there was a settlement there on Timor. From your analysis, though, can you tell us if there was anything you know about the settlement?
Oh, well, we can, when you say the settlement, we can tell that when people did get there, there weren't just a few people. Like, it looks like a very, quite a big migration. And, I mean, we're telling this based on a very small sample size in an enormous cave in what was one of thousands of caves. So, it's, you know, it gives you some idea of how small our sample is that we're extrapolating from. But when we first get human occupation in this site, it's not half a dozen artifacts, stone artifacts. There are thousands of stone artifacts. There are dense halves. So you can really see that arrival signature of when people first get there. And once they get there, the island of Timor, didn't have very much in the way of game that they could hunt. So people presumably lived on vegetable resources and marine resources, because big game there was no big game. Big game was absent. There was only things like giant rats, bats, lizards. So all the giant rats in Timor are now extinct, but there were about 6 different species of giant rat. The biggest one was about the size of a cat. And we find the bones of those animals from the earliest levels up until about 2,000 years ago when they become extinct. But most of the fauna in the sites is fishbone and turtle and shellfish and urchins. So these people who got there, these first immigrants into Timor, had to be able to use marine resources really competently. They had to be able to use the coasts and to get fish and marine resources.
Wow. Look, if you've just joined us here on Pacific Beat, we're speaking to Professor Sue O'Connor from the Australian National University on the discovery of ancient artefacts on the island of Timor and how this actually really reveals the human migration towards Australia. Professor, I understand you're actually heading back out to Timor. What are you searching for now then?
I'm actually not going back to Timor this trip. I'm leaving next week. But I'm going to an island called Wetar in Indonesia, which no one's ever heard of. But if you look on the internet, it's an island, a smallish island immediately to the north of Timor, so in the Timor-Leste part of Timor. So it's an island in Indonesia, and we're going there looking for an obsidian source, which is volcanic glass, because this glass was traded to Timor and other islands in Maluku. So it's very early. It's a very early example of maritime trade, you know, on a world scale. So we're trying to find the source of this this volcanic glass that gets traded to make stone artifacts. Right over at least five islands, we've found this volcanic glass.
Oh, well, that sounds exciting for the new trip there. I do want to come back to, you know, when we do talk about ancient humans migrating, are you aware of what sort of distance they were travelling? Was it something that was happening in a single generation or just over a long period of time?
No, I mean, it's obviously not a single generation. Well, when people move from one island to the next, it's over a single generation probably. But they may not have been intending to migrate the way we think of migration today. They were probably, because when you go, I don't know if you've been to Timor or any of the islands in the Lesser Sunda group of Indonesia, and when you're in one, like when you're at the end of Flores, you can see the next island. When I'm in Timor, at the very east end of Timor, I can look out, and on a good day, I can see Leti and Moa and Damar, as well as Kissar Island. So you can imagine people who are living there would have been looking out and seeing these other islands and thinking, well, the shellfish are getting a bit thin on the ground here. Maybe we'll, it's very calm today, maybe we'll go over there and see whether there are good shellfish beds there or whether the fishing is better there. So I think humans have always been innately curious as well. We're talking about modern humans, people just like us. And, yeah, they were probably driven to find new resource zones, better resource zones, richer resource zones, and went over to explore the next island, which you can see, and then having got there, decided it was a really great place, and then the, you know, the next generation goes and establishes a summer settlement there, the coast house, and over a few generations, you can see how people can quickly colonize areas. So generation times are only probably 25 years. But our radiocarbon dates are dealing in, I mean, we're talking things like 45,000 years plus or minus 500 years. So we've got very big standard deviations on our dates.
And so with all the research, with all these findings, Professor, where to from here?
Well, we're doing some exploration on the northern route, which the modelling and now our results from Timor indicate was the entry or gateway into Australia, because Timor doesn't appear to be it if it's only occupied after 50. If people get to Majabibi in the Arnhem Land by 65, they've got to have come in some other way. So we're going to be doing some work, hopefully on the northern route, up around Seram, the islands just south of Seram, and see if we can find anything earlier there.